Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
There's a spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Good evening, Port City Patriots. Welcome to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, Mr. Mobile, also known as Chocolate Thunder. I have my good friend here, Officer Roger Cotton from the Mobile Police Department. He's going to talk about National Night Out, which is next Tuesday. Right there. National Night Out, which is next Tuesday. Say hello, Roderick.
What's going on? It's glad to be on the show. Thank you, John, for having me.
Thank you for coming. First things first, let's say happy birthday to Gino Evans, Sergeant Evans. He celebrated a birthday last week. The editor at the Land Gap, Rob Holbert, is celebrating a birthday this month. Hey, Josh Yorga, if you're listening, give me them ears. I'd like to say rest in peace to John Dees, the father of a friend from the neighborhood, Kenneth Dees, and please keep Clarence Knight and the Knight family in your prayers. He lost his mother last week. So let's not play around with it, Benoit. What is National Night Out?
National Night Out is a national community event put on by law enforcement throughout the country. It's a safe environment for the community to come out to celebrate, have fun, and nothing more than get to know the officers that patrol their streets every day, every night, and make those interactions.
When is it and where is it?
It's going to be Tuesday, October the 7th, in the parking lot of Dick's House of Sports at 1390 Tingle Circle East from 6 to 8 p.m.
And how many years have we participated in National Night Out?
Since the beginning of it in 1996, it started, and officers before me began doing the campaign, and it's just been growing and growing ever since.
How many people do you think that usually attend?
Around 250 plus, easy.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is, and the more we can reach our citizens, the better it's going to continue to grow.
Benoit, we always hear things like community outreach with the police department, the police officers talking to kids. Why? Why is that so important?
It's important because a lot of what is put out today is negative, whether it's on the news, whether it's on social media, however it's put out, it's always negative. There are a lot of positive things that we do in law enforcement, such as playing with kids in the neighborhood. We'll be riding, doing our normal patrol, see a kid playing basketball, getting out, shooting ball with them. That's an interaction that's positive. So as they grow up, they may have bad interactions with law enforcement or just authority, period. But that one interaction could change their view totally on how police operate and what we do.
Well, and you said this negative. It's the media that waits for the one moment where something happens, whether it's legitimate or justified or not, but it's played over and over and over and over. Is there a danger in programming children at a young age to fear or hate police?
Oh, I believe so. I mean, anything that you repeat over, even as adults, we grow habit to. And we are habits of our environment. So if they only see the bad, the only thing they're going to think is the bad.
Right. And your assignment on the PD is where?
Our crime prevention unit.
And what is crime prevention and what do you guys do?
Crime prevention is basically getting out, sharing good positive energy, for one, good resources of what we do, how we do, when we do things, and trying to connect the community with one actually interaction at a time.
Well, I see a lot on the police department's website that you are going to schools frequently and talking to kids. Why is that necessary?
Oh, man, that's an exciting opportunity just to be in front of other kids and to hear the many questions that they have, although some are very, very outrageous. But most of them ask, you know, things that we do every day, like what is it being a cop every day? But to be able to be in front of them in a great light really gives me the opportunity to address them in a small classroom and to give them undivided attention about what we do and to answer their question. I go in uniform and I present myself in a professional manner to represent the department as well as law enforcement across the nation.
Right. So crime prevention through changing hearts and minds.
Yes.
What else do you have coming up that the public might want to participate in or need to know about?
Outside of National Out, we will be doing Coffee with a Cop here momently. We plan on doing it a monthly thing, as well as we'll be out at the fair. And we got other programs that's coming up to definitely help grow the community in its action towards bridging that gap.
All right.
Between.
What does the public get wrong about police officers, you think?
The view of what we do and how we do it.
Explain.
So a lot of what we do is we're looking for what's wrong. We're the only profession that looks for what's wrong in the world. And within doing that, we're viewed as harassing people or picking on people. And although that can look like that, but if we're looking for what's wrong, we're looking for those people that's not doing well, those people that have bad intentions.
Well, we go to where crimes are committed. Police officers go where crimes are committed, right?
That's correct.
And so areas that have high volumes of crime will usually see more negative interactions with police.
Right.
How do we explain that to the public that they comprehend it, or is that a pointless venture?
I don't think it's pointless. I think we just have to find a way to relate to them. And once we can find that relation to, hey, we're here to do a job, we're here to do a service, and not only is that service here for the public, but it's also there to help grow. So if we can continue to reach them for one and then show them, hey, we're here for you, the message, I feel like, will continue to grow and get passed on.
Well, is this a one-sided venture where you and your assignment have to do all the outreaching and trying to talk to people? Or is this something where the public must also say, you know what, I'm going to participate. I'm going to National Night Out.
Yeah, the public coming out is great because the more programs we put on, we will need the public's response and support to actually come out. And I believe the more that comes out and supports, they will see, hey, you know, these guys and ladies are just like us. You know, they just have a different job than we do. So looking at us in the future, yeah, we arrest people and we do take people to jail. But, hey, we also do positive things.
One of the greatest detriments I've seen is that whatever happens nationally, somehow it's projected here in Mobile and we create problems between the public and the police that don't really exist. So we're combating twofold. We're combating the perception and we're combating reality.
Right.
How do we make that bridge?
We can cross that bridge, one, by as a department, continue on like we do.
Mm-hmm.
We all wear the same uniform. So that's how we get that negative connotation because we're police.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, we do build differently here. So as we continue to do better here, you know, the outreach will continue to grow.
All right. National Night Out is next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Tuesday, October the 7th from 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Dick's House of Sports at 1390 Tingle Circle.
Are you going to blow your horn?
Nah, but I will be on the ones and twos.
So your last album that you put out. Tell everybody about it. It's online. We got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was a great album. Transitions, jazz album I did with a couple friends. It went well. Love it. If you get a chance, check me out. Roger Cotton. It's on all the media outlets.
Are you still available to do birthdays, bar mitzvahs, and funerals?
We'll talk about that.
All right. Thank you a lot, Officer Cotton. My friend, my brother. We'll be right back after the break. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Josh Jorga, let me get them ears. Before we get into the topic, the call-in text line is 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn is located at 266 East I-Service Road, I-65 Service Road North, 251-479-4653 or 251-479-4653 Gold. Ed, Sandra, Braxton, JJ, Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly are there for all of your needs, from everything, firearms, gold, jewelry, electronics, you name it, they got it. They even have camping equipment sometimes and generators, all the things that you need in the port city. Go by, tell them Chocolate Thunder, Mr. Mobile sent you, and Braxton will let you comb his beard, and JJ will give you a big bear hug. Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pound, 266 East I-60 Service Road, I-65 Service Road North. You know, last week was our runoff of the mayoral election, the 23rd, and I'm glad it's over. I am naive enough to believe that in 2025, we choose sides in any election or who we're going to vote for based on principles, and not ethnic associations. That runoff really brought out the worst in some people. It made so many people, not everyone, it made so many people become so tribal and stick up for their side. And just because I sponsor, promote one person does not mean I'm anti the other person. It just means I prefer this person. And so I don't have to run anyone down or say anything negative about the person. I only need to talk about the person I choose to support. But that campaign turned ugly the final couple of weeks. And I was disappointed that we are still viewing each other this way. Leaders unite. Leaders do not divide. Leaders set the tone and they set the example. This is our port city. You guys have heard me say that before. This is our city, and it will become whatever we make it. Airport Boulevard runs the entire length of the city of Mobile. Government Street, Old Show Road goes all the way to Mississippi. And all of these streets are our own. We share them. We share the beachfront, the waterfront, and whenever we get into the mode of dividing Mobile because of what your area, your zip code is, or the ethnic makeup of the people that live there, that is a negative commentary on where we are mentally and emotionally. So I'm glad that that runoff is over. I wondered what people would say Wednesday morning after making negative comments to friends and family and coworkers. How did they address that Wednesday morning when the final tally was read? I hope no one said anything that was so harsh that, look, I'm sorry, can't repair. But sometimes that occurs. And about that race, you know, the candidates weren't running against each other. They were running against their associations. One candidate was associated with a previous mayor working in that administration, and the other candidate was being associated with the current mayor. And so more opinions of what I saw and read were comments about those associations. And once we get away from principles and we get into a popularity contest or trying to predict what someone will or will not do, we lose focus on what the candidates are saying. If you have, and this, I only talk about principles. I don't talk about people. When one candidate, if a candidate is not projecting unity, if a candidate is not showing strength, if a candidate isn't showing independent thought, those are the things we should consider, and not just the color of someone's skin or who they're associated with. So last week, I was happy when the final tally was finished, because maybe now we can get back to repairing our relationships with one another and see each other as patriots of this fair city. Because like it or not, none of us are going anywhere. No ethnic group is going to say, you know what, I'm packing up and I'm leaving, and everyone get on the bus and drive off to the airport and leave. I'm not leaving the port city. This is my home. I was born here, and rabbit, I'm going to die here. And Sheriff Hacker is going to run me out of here. That's a Blazing Saddles reference, by the way. But we need to unite the city, even if we agree to disagree, even if our opinions are different, then let's agree to disagree and say that it is in the best interest of our city that we continue forward, because we either stand united or we fall divided. So I hope this message reaches everyone. I hope everyone hears it and realizes that we do much better cooperating and working with each other than working against each other. That is my words of wisdom for the day. Besides that, we still have a long way to go in our college football season. And I'm a Jags fan. I used to like this other team, but the coach can't win the big game. But I wish we'd get out and support our Jags more often. They're deserving of our support. You know, everyone runs around with football teams that are in other cities and argue and fight over with each other over those teams. And we have a Division I Sun Belt Conference team in our backyard. Football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, track, tennis, all the sports that we enjoy watching on TV. Maybe we should put some of that support behind the Jags. Maybe we should buy season tickets there and go sit in the stands and tailgate and get behind them and put some effort into it. I know some of you are saying, well, G.Y., you're just saying that because your team can't win the big game. Maybe a little bit. But I am a local boy. When I say I'm a Port City Patriot, that's everything that's included in the Port City. For the National Night Out next Tuesday, I'll be there. And I'd like for all of you to show up. Just show some support for something that doesn't involve public consumption of adult beverages or the fair. Come out and be a part of something that is interesting to all Mobilians. And because we have to support Mobile, the hockey has been approved. We need to go to the hockey matches. I don't understand the rules of hockey. I watched, and I understand soccer rules better than I do hockey rules. But we need to be there. We should buy tickets, season tickets, and go support it. You know, I read this news article online. One of the local news stations was asking what should be a priority for the mayor-elect. And I didn't respond on Facebook, but mine is do something about the vagrancy. This is it's just ridiculous. There's a guy over by the bus station on Government Street who has a tent in the culvert where the water drains. Yeah, you've seen him, haven't you? Yeah, I mean, this is how bad this has gotten. There are vagrants, and I make a distinction between homeless and vagrants. Vagrants get up every day and go out and beg every morning for 10 hours. And many of them have a place to live. They are not homeless per se. They just don't want to work. And we're the suckers. We're the suckers because some of us are working an hourly wage and making $10 or $12 an hour. And you see this guy standing out with a sign, healthy looking guy. It looks like he can go clean a parking lot or fry some fish. But he's standing there with a sign asking you for your hard earned money. And you give it to him. You give him your money that you worked hard for. I tell you what, J.Y. is going to set up a GoFundMe. It's called Give Big Mahogany Your Money Instead of a Vagrant. And I'm telling you right now, that money's not going towards anything besides what I want it to. So we're the suckers. We could solve this problem of vagrancy in our city in 30 days. Just stop giving them money. We had Officer Justin Howard on a couple of weeks ago. He's working in the Mobile Police Department's homeless outreach. And he said, don't give them money, because if they were good with money, they wouldn't be standing out begging for it. Right? So if you see a vagrant, give him a hot soapy towel and a rag and let him get it, wash his face and bathe or some deodorant. But we as citizens have to address this issue. The argument is that the Supreme Court said that begging is a First Amendment right. Well, so be it. But giving your money doesn't have to be. We can solve this problem. And it isn't just them standing out begging. They've trampled down the grass everywhere they stand. Trash, because when people walk by and give them sodas, they just throw the bags on the ground. And it looks horrible driving Highway 90 from Tillman's Corner to downtown. And every other block, there's someone begging for money. Let alone going to downtown and you want to enjoy the park. How horrible does that look if we're trying to boost tourism and we want people to visit and enjoy our city, that there are homeless or vagrants laying in the newly remodeled Bienville Square or Cathedral Square? You can't sit on a bench because this vagrant is there with all of his worldly possessions. So we're coming up on our break. We'll get into our, those are just things I had to vent about, but we'll be right back. Tonight on Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Welcome back to Tonight on Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'm your host, Mr. Mobile. In 2023, the U.S. adult literacy rate was approximately 79%, with 21% of adults considered illiterate. The average literacy and numeracy scores of U.S. adults were on par with the international average, indicating that while U.S. has a strong reading literacy scores and numeracy and adaptive problem solving, we are lower than in other countries. The United States ranked 36th in literacy globally, with significant disparities in literacy rates across states. New Hampshire having the highest literacy rate, California the lowest. Alabama is ranked number 39 in the nation in literacy rates at 85.2%. Well, that's at least up from 49 a few years ago, but thank God for Mississippi, or we'd be dead last most of the time, right? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We in Alabama don't take education seriously. We cast it aside. We look at high school or public schools as a means for kids to be in the band or play football. And that is why we're falling behind. Home has not made an emphasis on education, real education, being able to read, write, and count. A few months ago, I did a show on where our county, Mobile County Public School System grades are for the kids. And while we have an 80%+ graduation rate, but not 50% of kids are testing at grade level in math, science, and language arts. So we have an education problem. And if you've had a recent conversation with any teenager or most teenagers, they have a terrible time communicating in a standard American English, and we have to get back to that. See, Patriots, we've become so lax in our application of what education is supposed to be. We've compromised and dumbed ourselves down because we don't want to leave anyone behind. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, when a little bit of embarrassment might just be what they need. Maybe that's what it takes for them to become a little more motivated. So I thought I would post or read about the curriculum from the first public high school in America, the English Classical School, which opened its doors in Boston, Massachusetts in 1821. Prior to 1821, only private secondary schools existed in America, which some students would attend to prepare for college, which they could, began at the age of 15. And the differences then and now is that kids could apply for school admission at 12. The school was only for boys. They opened a school for girls 5 years later in 1826. Students were administered an examination, an entrance examination to school, and they had to complete their studies in 3 years. The four-year high school education was implemented in 1852. Here is the curriculum from 1821, from the lowest class, that's the beginning, intellectual and written arithmetic, ancient and modern geography, general history, elements of arts and sciences, reading, grammar, and declamation, bookkeeping by single and double entry, sacred geography. Middle school, algebra, rhetoric and composition, geometry, natural philosophy, and natural theology. High school, moral philosophy, forensics, criticisms on English authors, practical mathematics, comprehending navigation, surveying, measuration, astronomical calculations, and together with the construction use of mathematical instruments, and a course of experimental lectures on the various branches of natural philosophy. That's much different than what we're teaching now. Have times changed? Sure. But they were trying to raise kids to think for themselves then, to think critically, to think deeply. Now we are just trying not to hurt feelings. We are trying to include failing students in with kids who are not failing. We are turning our head from disciplinary issues because we don't want to offend or hurt anyone. The schools that are failing now need to take more seriously what we are teaching. And we should have an interest in this, because one day these kids will be the children that are, or the adults that are working in the old folks' home and prescribing your medicine and coming into your hospital room to give you a shot. And if they've not learned how to do those things before they get the job, then you may not get quality service. I emphasize education because the greatest tools, resources you have are your brain and your hands. That gives you your moral compass, where the work ethic comes from. And if you're able to read, write, and count, you can work anywhere. You can do something. You know, and embracing education, embracing intelligence and knowledge, seeking after it, and not just singularly, but things that you're uncomfortable learning. Learn something new and do something different. Because we're one of the most industrialized modern nations in the world, and for us to be ranked 36th internationally and for Alabama to be ranked 39th nationally is a sad testimony. Where did our intellect go? Where did our knowledge go? These should be American students graduating from engineering school. We shouldn't have to import engineering students and medical students. I had an overnight stay at a hospital a few years ago, and I don't remember having an American doctor come in and check on me. I'm not anti-immigration. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that our nation is so large, and we have a population that should be able to support us leading the way intellectually. One of the things that bother me the most is when we talk about spokespeople. Who do we put the microphone in front of and ask their opinion? It's athletes and entertainers. They gain more respect than intellectuals, than professors and masters of crafts and education. And that should not be, our leaders should not be entertainers or athletes or singers or football players. It should be economists when they talk about the economy, historians when they talk about history, constitutional professors when they talk about the Constitution. We should not be led by dummies. We should not be led by weaklings or cowards. We should promote the intellectual. We should make that normal and proud again. And that's on us, Port City. I haven't attended a PTA meeting in years, but I wonder if there are more parents at the football game on Friday nights than PTA meetings. I wonder how many parents are there discussing grades with their children, or who are checking online when grades are posted. Or we can't keep falling further and further behind. We are a great nation. I'm proud to be American, not an hyphenated American. I'm proud to be an Alabamian and Mobilian. But our test scores are abysmal. And as long as we have young men and young women who can't read, write, and count, we will only fall further behind. So that's on us. We should be embarrassed reading what was taught in middle, elementary, middle, and high school 200 years ago compared to what we're teaching now, and or that you'd have to be in an honors course or pay for an education to learn critical, to think critically, to think more deeply. And we shouldn't tolerate it. We should want more for our next generation and ourselves also. We shouldn't be satisfied with a C or just enough. And that's the other thing. We put so much effort in trying to re-attract failing students that we often overlook the C student. We often overlook the average kid who just needs a few more minutes of instruction. We also try to hold on too tightly to kids or that have disciplinary problems. Sometimes people don't want to do any better. Sometimes the best that they have is what they've given. And unfortunately, they might have to be removed from the fold. And when they want to do better, they will return. But as it stands now, this is what we're dealing with. Alabama's state government implemented initiatives to address literacy issues, such as the Alabama Literacy Act, which focuses on improving reading skills. Nonprofit organizations and community groups in Alabama play a crucial role in promoting literacy through tutoring programs, book drives, and other initiatives. Despite these efforts, Alabama continues to face challenges in raising literacy levels and continued investments in education. The common challenges to literacy education in Alabama is low literacy rates. Alabama is consistently ranked in the lower end of national literacy assessments, with a significant portion of the population reading below proficiency levels. Limited access to resources, teacher shortages, socioeconomic factors are all contributing to the low literacy rates in the state of Alabama. But one thing it doesn't mention is that the home must make reading a normal, everyday occurrence. So you guys know when I talk about a problem, I always come back with a solution. So we're coming up on our break, our final break of the night. I just don't accept, while these other things might have an influence on kids learning how to read, write, and count, it always starts inside the home. It always starts with mom and dad putting an emphasis. Even if mom and dad did not know how to read, write, or count, even if mom and dad were illiterate. America went through this several decades ago. As people came in from the fields and began attending school, they couldn't, but they made sure that their children could. We're coming up on our final break. Tonight in Mobile, Mr. Mobile, the phone and text line is 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. This is our final segment. We have about 8 minutes. The Mad Hatter isn't here with me tonight. We have a fill-in producer, and you're doing a mighty fine job, sir. Thank you. Thank you very well. You know, when I talked about literacy rates and what can we do, the sooner you start, the better, right? And the sooner we start reading to children and talking to babies, the better. I heard they'd even start in the belly. I heard a lot of Jimi Hendrix, I think. Marcus and I heard a lot of Jimi Hendrix when we were in the belly because we both are big Jimi Hendrix and Elvis fans, go figure. But talking to children, babies, is important because the first thing it does is it develops language skills. And I just got a message. Hold on before I get into that. Neudrolics, hose and fitting on Auri Court off Spring Hill Avenue. They are my name sponsor, Neudrolics. I can't do the show without them. They have all the hose fitting, industrial hose fittings, and DK Lock has valves for every need that you have. The salespeople there, go ask for Street Jesus first when you call or visit. And if not, ask for Anna. I think she and Wade are the longest serving people at Neudrolics. Bob, I thought the commercial played. I'll have to check. But Neudrolics is the name sponsor of my show. They deserve all the credit. I could not be on air without them. I lost a sponsor about a month ago. So now I rely heavily on Neudrolics, Friends of Trip Pittman, Alabama Injury and Pain Clinic, and Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn. So there, I won't forget again. Oh, did we? Okay, we did play it. All right. So, but I don't mind saying it again. I don't mind saying it twice. Language skills. Talking to brand new babies, arm babies, develops language skills. Hearing words read aloud helps babies learn skills and really start to bloom. Reading introduces them to a greater number of words and more complex language than they might otherwise hear in a day-to-day conversation. Actually, a book. You know, we used to have nursery rhymes that would be read to children, or read a book before bed. And it was as much as to soothe them as it also to their final thoughts would be hearing words. So when they go to sleep, they're maybe if they dream, their imaginations could develop those words. Reading to babies builds bonding. Snuggling up to read a book together signals safety, love, and emotional connection. Having that one-on-one attention with your baby strengthens your bond. That's why, you know, when you give the baby, you pick them up and sit them on your lap to read the book to them. And babies, when they'll go pick out a book, they'll go grab a book and then turn around instantly wanting you to pick them up. So that builds that emotional bond and teaches the child to feel safe. Emotional learning. Babies aren't just looking at the pictures in their favorite books. They're also watching you frown when a book character is frustrated or smile at the happy ending. Your baby mimics your expressions and the sounds you make. That helps with early brain development. And that's why you can be animated when you read. I remember when I was at Leona B. Warren kindergarten, and some of the teachers there would read, and they would have these voice inflections and these sounds and these animations with their hands, and it really brought to light and made it come to life for us, and we could view it and see it. And I'm fortunate enough to come from a family of readers. Everyone in my family read. Well, we only had one black and white 17-inch television in the kitchen, so everyone couldn't read it, and you went in descending order by age of who watched what. So Marcus and I were stuck making friends with my sister Alicia just so we could watch TV. But other than that, we were all reading Mad Magazine, Essence, People, you name it. We were always reading, and when we ran out of books, Mom was a big horror book reader too, Alfred Hitchcock and Stephen King, anything horror. She'd read it and fall asleep. But we all had a fascination of reading, and that still is true today. We all still enjoy reading, but that starts at a young age, and that starts with the parents. Establishing routines. Dr. Klein says that kids of all ages thrive on a routine. Reading can be a great addition to the daily schedule. If you get in the habit of reading at bedtime, a book can signal to the baby that it's now time to slow down and get ready for sleep. And anything that makes bedtime easier is worth the effort. I just covered that, and that's why it's important to do it. School success. Research shows that about a third of kids start kindergarten without the language skills they need to learn to read. Reading to babies and small children helps them develop those skills. That's a shame when a child can go to kindergarten and not know their colors or the ABCs or how to spell the name. And I give my sister Alicia credit for that. She would make sure Marcus and I would have school. Mom would get on to her about locking the door and having us in school. But when we went to kindergarten, we could write our full names. We knew our address. We knew our ABCs. We knew our right from our left. I don't think I could tie my shoe. I think Marcus could. But that was because of my sister's intense desire that we could read. And it laid a foundation. Like I said, we still enjoy it today. How and what to read to your little one. You know, there are anything that's developmental. And if they recommend it at 4 years old, get the five-year-old book, the book recommended for the five-year-old. Go an age up and develop those habits sooner. Make it daily. Don't do it every once in a while. Set out some time to read to your child every day. Follow their lead. If your child wants to turn back to the first page again and again, just roll with it. Just let your little one point out the pictures they like on the page or talk about what they see. Let them develop themselves. Sometimes we become so choreographed with how we interact with children that we forget that they're learning and developing their own personalities. So you might have to go back two or three times and read a page again or show a picture again. Don't expect perfection. Don't get frustrated if your baby isn't sitting quietly listening at story time. It might be a challenge to get them to sit still, but that's the child developing a personality. I'm not saying let them run free without discipline, but don't always expect the child you were or who you are from that child. Let them explore. Baby needs to explore their environment. Let them discover books on their own, even if that means they're holding it upside down or drooling all over it. Let them pick out the books. If they like the color of the book or the picture on the front, let them pick it out. And help them pick out the right books. Picking out books with lots of words in them. Yes, some pictures, but make sure they're hearing different words, different sounds, and different descriptions, and pointing it out to them. One of my school teachers, like I said, at Leona B. Warren in kindergarten, she could read a book upside down just so we could see the pictures. She had this remarkable talent of the book in her lap, opened, and she could read the words upside down. It was just amazing, but it kept us engaged. Talk about it. Engage with your little listener by pointing out pictures and asking questions or speculating why these things are the way they are. Don't become frustrated and forget that you may have to repeat yourself. And keep going. School-age kids benefit from reading with their parents, especially as they're trying to learn to read on their own. And you'll be surprised at what children listen to, hear, and remember. There's nothing more satisfying than when you're not around and you hear your child reciting a book that you read with them, or they're making up the words to that book that you read with them. But that comes from planting a seed, a desire to read. That will get the literacy rates up in the state of Alabama and the nation. Those are the things we have to. And I'm always for, there are programs out there. There's government money for everything and everybody. But if home isn't involved in improving children's reading rates and literacy rates, then there's nothing the government can fix. I have often said that there's some things that can't be legislated. You can legislate vagrancy. We can use the laws and the government to get rid of vagrancy. But there's very limited means the government has in us being active in our children's lives, encouraging them to read, write, and count. I know there are people who like to try to scream at government, we need more programs, we need more funding, we need more resources and an investment, when what we really need are more parents, better parents, married parents, fathers and mothers being involved in their children's lives. So that'll wrap up this show. I got the single finger salute from the producer. So we're winding down the time. I'll be back next Monday if Neudrolics pays the bills. Thank you guys once again. Thank Tripp Pittman. Thank you, Alabama Injury and Pain. And thank you, Eddie's Pawn Shop. Without you, I wouldn't be on the air. Port City Patriots, let's read a book. Josh Georgia, I still ain't got them ears. Good night. Thank you all. God bless.